There's a thousand further women living down there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. This is John Katz-Lamidas, and you're listening to Cats with a Dish. My co-host with me is Tricia McCrone. I got to tell you, I write the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, lasvegassun.com. I'll be in The Sunday, which premieres Sunday, our new print publication out of Greenspun Media Group. And having said all that, Dish, what's new?
Well, my name's Tricia McCrone, and I write on Twitter at Tricia McCrone, and I write
and Cats
on
with a Dish.
Facebook. My name on Facebook is Tricia McCrone, and on Instagram, I put pictures at Tricia McCrone, and I also write the transcribing. I actually co-write, I co-write the Cats with the Dish weekly column for Cats Report.
Cats Report. That's right.
There you go. Yes. I can say I do something.
That's it.
Wow. I gave a long list of what I accomplished.
You probably know her from Facebook.
I'm so busy.
I know you are. I know. So anyway, yes. We've had quite a, every week is busy, but so I'll start this off this way. I'm in the Fox 5, Channel 5 green room.
Where you make appearances, which you forgot to mention.
Yeah, I never mentioned that, but I'm on Fox 5 regularly on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
And I'm on my couch watching sometimes on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
And okay. I give a little wink and a nod to you.
You do, I know, so. I catch
hey,
it.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, a little ear pull.
Nice kimono. And so I'm in the green room the other day and waiting to go on, and they start talking about Wayne Newton, your brother-in-law, my friend,
yes,
on a show with Billy Ray Cyrus. And yes, I say to myself, what?
Yeah.
And then I texted, and then my text was like, what?
Exactly. I think
so
that's all
I got. So what is happening?
Well.
Or isn't happening with Wayne and his show?
This is a very, Billy Ray Cyrus did actually wrote a pilot called mm-hmm. Still the King.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I've seen it, it's wonderful. And he is friendly with my brother-in-law, Wayne. Mm-hmm. And he asked Wayne to be a part of it and to actually be a character that he's written and that he wants Wayne to help develop.
His uncle.
To play his uncle on it.
Billy Ray Cyrus's uncle.
Yes, Billy Ray Cyrus's uncle. And it's a great premise. It's a great funny thing. And they're in meetings and it's a pilot. It's very early stages. So there really isn't nothing to report. It's not like I can say, oh, they go into production and it's going to be on this network. It is beginning stages, but I mean, I've seen the initial work that Billy Ray has done, and it's hysterical. It's so funny, but it's basic. It is definitely cable. It's not
right.
It has a more mature audience. There's, in other words, there's language, and
I
think maybe semi.
Okay, so yeah. So where they are right now is they're going to develop a. They've shot a pilot, or they're developing.
Billy Ray shot a pilot,
but Wayne's not in that pilot.
No.
Okay. So we don't have any Wayne
But right. Other than the fact that they have taken meetings and hopefully it's going to turn into something, but it's early stages. But yes, they are collaborating together to do this show, which hopefully will sell. It should sell. I was blown away and Billy Ray's a writer on it. And it's funny. It's timely. It's incredible. So I do hope it goes. And I think Wayne would be fabulous in it because, Wayne loves to do his acting. And it's a very funny, adult-driven show. Yes.
Wayne has always been very effective in especially in kind of villainous roles.
Yes.
Because there's that, I don't know, there's an intimidating presence about him when he's in those roles. Either in film or like the Ford Fairlane.
Yeah, he's got that deep voice and he has his presence is 6'4". He's so mm-hmm. tall that he towers over everybody. And I do have to say Ford Fairlane is my favorite because I never in a million years thought that I would ever see Wayne backhand a girl, and he does that to Zuzu Petals in Ford Fairlane. So if you have not seen mm-hmm. it's actually my favorite Wayne movie that he's ever done. It's my favorite Wayne appearance. He's priceless in it.
With Dice Clay with the Ford Fairlane viewing party at some point.
Exactly, that'd be
that
fun.
Would be fun. Yeah, go into to get a room and do it.
Yep.
But okay, so that clears that up.
Yeah, clears that up. So it's exciting, but nothing really solid to report.
Nothing out there.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happening this weekend. A couple things. You remember Brody, our friend Brody Dominic?
Yes, from Yellow Brick Road.
Well, he's doing this weekend a Led Zeppelin USA show, Led Zeppelin tribute show at the Smith Center.
Wow.
And this is, it will be happening as we air this, but Brody is trying to get a little bit more energy and perform more in Las Vegas. And this is part of it. He's got a good relationship with the people over there at the Smith Center. So it's all Led Zeppelin. Your favorite band.
Exactly. Wait, what does this have to do with the Hindenburg? Okay. So, okay, but a couple of things also before we go on. Do go to the Cats Report because, which is really funny, is Billy Johnson did get back to us last week that when our show aired, they actually were up 3-1. We joked about it.
Exactly.
But at the time that Cats of the Dish was on the air, we joked that the Wranglers would be up 3-1, and they were. And two, you have a very interesting story about Billy.
Yes.
Our former guest, and it has to do with a tussle with a Vegas magician.
This has been going on for this has been ongoing for a while, folks, and it kind of surfaced in a way that where documentation became known to people in the media. But Billy has been involved in a civil lawsuit with a magician, Seth Grable, in Las Vegas, who was best known for being on America's Got Talent,
or best known for getting married in the aisle at the Grammys.
And he was married in the aisle at the Grammys with Tammy Shaw, who is the publisher of Las Vegas Woman Magazine. And was also on Millionaire Matchmaker. And there was
he basically attacked Billy, and now there's a lawsuit to pay for the bills.
According to
the complaint. Sorry.
Yes, according to the complaint.
I'm not taking sides.
Yeah, that is the contention by Billy. They're involved in a civil suit. And this all came to a head during the week. And Billy...
I loved when I read your column that Seth said... this is the first time you called me and basically hung up on you.
He said that, and I felt like I was going to give him fair hearing, and that was his response to me because Seth has been trying to generate publicity for himself through my column for a long time, and as I will tell Seth Grable or anybody, I only cover people who deserve to be covered, who are real newsmakers, and that's my call in my column, so it's not a
And so Katz's report on Dish is coming out in the Katz Report.
That's my role. If someone who's done achieve something that is newsworthy enough, in my view, to get in the column, you're in the column. That's it, period.
Yay.
And that goes for everybody.
There you go. And we have exciting guests today.
Absolutely.
That's, we're talking about that's the 50th anniversary of the Beatles on Sullivan.
Speaking of, exactly. This person is a legend. Coming up next is Steve Rossi, who's half of the Allen and Rossi comedy team. He's going to be talking about 50 years ago this weekend when he and his partner appeared on the same show as the Beatles. So stick around. I know we will.
This is Ross Mollison, producer of Absinthe, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
Yeah! You're the special.
Me?
You found the piece of resistance, and the prophecy states that you are the most important, most talented, most interesting, and most extraordinary person in the universe. That's you, right?
Yes. That's me.
That's the voices of Chris Pratt and Elizabeth Banks as the main characters in the animated toy adaptation, The Lego Movie. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Pratt plays a Lego construction worker who discovers that he's the designated savior of his brick-based world from an evil tyrant voiced by Will Ferrell. It's hard to expect much from a movie that was no doubt conceived in a corporate boardroom as a way to sell more toys, but writer-directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller make the Lego Movie into frenetic, often hilarious fun, a nonstop barrage of wordplay and sight gags. It's far better than a film based on toy blocks had any right to be. I give the Lego Movie 3.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is The Monuments Men, about a squadron of art experts who track down works of art stolen by the Nazis during World War II.
Monuments Men, signed by Roosevelt. Oh, I see that. And to put a team together and try to protect what's left and find what's missing.
Aren't you a little old for that?
Yes.
George Clooney directs, co-writes, co-produces, and stars in a rather lifeless account of what could be a fascinating historical narrative. The movie alternates limp humor with corny speeches about the value of art and the nobility of the human spirit. And Clooney's strong cast, which includes Matt Damon, Bill Murray, and John Goodman, can't quite make it all stick. I give The Monuments Men 2.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is a genuine entertainment legend, most famous as half of the comedy team of Allen and Rossi, who for more than a decade headlined in showrooms and theaters across the country and made dozens of appearances on national TV variety shows. Three of those appearances were with the Beatles, which is a famous band in the 60s.
For those of you who have never heard of them.
On the Ed Sullivan Show, which was a famous TV show at the time. And this includes the group's debut 50 years ago on February 9th, 1964. Wow. Here to talk about those days is the esteemed Las Vegas resident, Steve Rossi. Steve, thank you so much for coming down.
Isn't that nice? Oh, we're so honored to have you here. I can't even say. And we mentioned three appearances. You made 44 appearances. Is that correct? Did I read that correctly? On the Ed Sullivan
Show?
Actually,
I was on almost 44 times, 42, 43. Alan and Rossi were on, I think, 27 or 28 times. But I was on with Slappy White when we were the first black and white comedy team.
Wow.
Slappy White. We did five appearances. And then I was on with Joey Ross, who did Ooh Ooh. Remember that?
Yeah. And you guys had a comedy act, the two of you.
And then I worked with Bernie Allen and Steve Rossi.
Oh, my gosh.
Where we were headlining a burlesque show at the Silver Slipper. And we were there for 2.5 years, and it seated 800 people and sold out every show, including three shows on Fridays and Saturdays.
Wow.
And I got to just tell you that there was a guy that was the head of entertainment, Walter Kane.
Uh-huh.
He was sort of a character.
He was Wayne.
Yeah, Wayne's
like,
close
he was like
friend.
His yeah. father, his, got, his grandfather.
Mm-hmm. So he said, I'm just going to sign you up week by week. We'll see how it works out. 2.5 years later,
like 100
after
we're
selling
week
out now, and they made a fortune with us because we didn't get that kind of money. And it was a burlesque show, but it was an adorable show. Anyhow, he calls me to his office and he says, Steve, I'm going to give you a 2-year contract, a firm contract. But instead of $8,500 a week, which had to pay for the band and the singers and dancers and everything, right? I'm going to give you $7,500 a week.
Oh, yeah.
I said, we're selling out and you're going to give us less money? He said, well, that's the only way, that's the deal. So I said, okay. I tell Bernie and he says, we're going to take less money? And he says, let me talk to him. I said, don't talk to him because
exactly.
they're drawing out the paperwork right now. $7,500 for 2 years is a lot of money.
Yeah.
The duration of the deal was the hook, right? The,
yeah, exactly.
2 years guaranteed.
You don't have to worry week for week.
That was the deal.
Yeah, you don't have to worry week for week.
So he says, I'll talk to him. So he talks to him. And he got angry because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter calls me up about a half hour later. He says, I can't sign that contract, Steve. I love you. But
Ooh. He
just called me every name that you could ever imagine.
Big mistake.
Bernie Allen. And that was it. And that we lost that 2-year contract.
Now, was that with the Summa Corporation?
With Summa Corporation.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, because he was with Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes. Yes. Hotel. Uh-huh.
So now one time we're doing the show. And the billboard, now we're headlining at the Sands years later. And Marty and I, well, actually, Marty and I were at the Sands before. The first time we headlined at the Sands was right after I was a production singer for 2 years. Never been a production singer that went from being a production singer to headlining in the hotel. Because that was 1958 when I finished doing the production singer. And then Marty and I got together, and then I think it was 1961, 62, we started headlining at the Sands, the Riviera, Caesar's Palace, Desert Inn, and all the places. A lot of the same places where Wayne was.
Yeah.
Right.
So now when this whole thing happened 50 years ago, 73 million viewers
That's
watched
right.
the Ed Sullivan Show that night.
Right.
And which is just, that's something that is unheard of today in cable. I mean, if people get, 10 million, it's a number one show.
That's right.
So 73 million viewers. Now, did you know because how big the Beatles were?
I knew how big they were, but they were really in awe of us because we had already done, 15 appearances and we were the comedy stars of the Ed Sullivan Show along with Alan King and at that mm-hmm. time, Jackie Mason, who had his problems with Ed, as you know.
Yeah.
But incidentally, he won that case.
Tell
he
us
won
about
that
case.
Jackie Mason was told to cut by Ed Sullivan. So Ed Sullivan gave him two fingers, and he went like this. And so Jackie Mason would always say, this guy's giving me two fingers. I'm going to give him one finger.
Oh.
Right? But he didn't give the middle finger. He gave the fourth finger because that's how he always did his
act. When he talked.
So I want to tell you, you don't know what you're talking about. This is the kind of a person I never liked you in the first place. And, and then he destroys his career. Ed destroys, even, I'm saying this, he can't defend himself, but he was a dear friend of mine. But he mistook that thing there for this, right?
Uh-huh.
So he fired him. And then he got a hold of the other networks, and said, do not hire them. So no, you better not hire Jackie Mason.
So Jackie's not on any shows, right?
Yeah.
Wow. And for 5 years, Sullivan had that kind of power.
He was cooked. And then years later, he's working in Florida, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and he's booking a hotel there. He booked Alan and Rossi, Phyllis Diller, Jack Jones, different people. And nobody really did much business except Alan and Rossi because we had the exposure. Mm-hmm. So he held us over for 8 weeks. You guys are terrific. This is the kind of a show that these Jews love you up here. This is a kind of an act, right? So he didn't
In Miami
open.
Back then, that's exactly what you needed.
The Jews love you up here.
But this was funny because he didn't open the show. Marty's wife would open the show. Katie. And then we would come on, and then I would come on and sing a song, then I'd bring Marty on. So Jackie, at the end of the show, he would do a little monologue while we're in the dressing room, and we could hear him. And I thought it was hilarious, but Marty wasn't happy with it. He says, what kind of a neck this is? Alan and Rossi, they know exactly what they're doing. They open with his wife, you know, who's a non-Jew in front of a Jewish audience singing Jewish songs with a Jewish accent. And then if she bombs, he brings on Steve Rossi. And then he sings a couple of his hit songs. And then if he bombs, they bring on Marty Allen. And then if he bombs, they all bomb. Well, you know, the Jewish audience just loved him, you know. And he said, and then Marty would get mad about it. And I said, he's just kidding.
Yeah.
It's hysterical.
It's a shtick. It's a shtick.
Oh, yeah.
But Walter came one time when we had our marquees, our billboards up. I took a picture of the marquee at the Sands, and it said, Walter Kane presents Alan and Rossi, right? We mostly went by under that name rather than the two names. And then I took a picture of it with a Polaroid. I think it was a Polaroid at that time, right? So it said, Walter Kane presents. It was a windy day. So when I took the picture, evidently the wind knocked off the P on presents, and it said Walter Kane resents.
Oh my god!
A Freudian sign.
Yeah.
So, Steve, tell us. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit over time. You on the Sullivan Show and that whole climate. You guys were a big deal in 1963, 64.
Oh, absolutely.
The Beatles are signed in 63 to be on the show,
right?
And subsequently, in the early parts of February.
And it was originally they offered him one show, correct? Wasn't that it?
Right.
And that they wanted to do three shows because of the power of Ed Sullivan.
Yeah, exactly. And they wouldn't come over. Exactly. If they didn't have
well, that was their manager, you know, Epstein.
Brian Epstein.
And anyhow, the first show, there were over 25,000 teenage girls all around the studio, I mean, around the block there.
Wow.
On Broadway and whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And we had limos. We all were driven in with limos and security and police and the whole thing. And they were throwing pictures and notes, love notes, into the cars, including nude pictures.
Ooh.
I'm talking about 13, 14-year-old kids.
Uh-oh.
And they
this
thought
is the original
that,
selfie.
Yeah.
They're Polaroids.
Oh, yeah, the original. And so they thought our limos were part of the, you know, the Beatle limos.
Sure.
So they're throwing it in. And I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, what the hell is happening? Because
this never happened in your career up to this point.
No, of course not, except when I was alone. But anyway. I had sex, I was very young, very nervous. I was alone. But anyway. And my Italian father walked in and he said, you keep doing that, you're going to go blind. I said, Pop, I'm over here. Why can't I go to one of those houses where you pay for it? You see, you must have never do that. I said, why? You might just see something you should never expect to see at your age. Well, I went anyhow and I saw something I never expected to see. I saw my father. I said, Pop, Mom is over here with her attorney.
Never a dull moment in the Rossi household.
Never.
So anyhow, it was a sexual revolution with these teenage girls.
So this
and I'm sure there was before that even. Mm-hmm. But the thing that was amazing is we were supposed to do a dress rehearsal like we always did. But Ed Sullivan said, well, we're not going to do a dress rehearsal with the audience because those girls will go nuts and they'll just screw up the dress rehearsal. So we actually did the dress rehearsal without the girls. And then when we did it with the show, forget about it. But later on, we learned from that not to ever do the first show, the dress rehearsal, because a lot of those people stayed over for the second show if the weather was inclement. uh-huh. like it was snowing or anything. Right. Now you're working to the same damn audience, and you're saying, why am I not getting any laughs?
Yeah, why aren't they reacting? Uh-huh.
You know, because they already heard the jokes.
It's a stale audience, yeah. You know? It's a spent audience. Did you have any interaction directly with Epstein or any of the band members during this?
Yeah, I spoke to John and to Paul. And John had a terrific sense of humor. He was not in awe of me. The other three were. Mm-hmm. And they were very, you know, Mr. Rossi, it's such a nice, you know, marvelous, what a feeling to meet you personally. you guys are very well known all over the English-speaking world. You know, mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm glad you recognize that because we truly are the stars of this show, whether you want to believe it or not. and I said, that's why 76 million people were tuning in. Until you guys came on the show, we used to have about 9 million. But they were fans. They were fans.
I remember on one of the broadcasts, I think it was the one in Miami where Marty actually wore a Beatle wig on the air.
The first show. It was the first show. What happened is Ed Sullivan says, now, Steve, I want you to sing a beautiful ballad right before you bring Marty on, because I was recording on Columbia at that time, and I did Try to Remember, which did pretty well for me in those days, from the Fantastics, which ran forever, you know. And so he said, I'll quiet him down. Don't you worry about a thing. And I said, well, you know, just bring me on right after the commercial. Now I'm going to bring you guys immediately after because I want you to get all the exposure you can. I said, yeah, but we'll probably bomb. These kids don't know who the hell we are. I mean, they're not going to laugh. Well, I know they're going to laugh. You know? So now I'm thinking, I said, Marty, you got to come up with something funny when you walk out. Now, so I said, here's my partner, you know, whatever it was, the man on the moon routine, whatever, I can't remember. He came out with a ladder and a space helmet that said.
I love it.
Well, no, that was the second show. He came out, he just walked out with a wig on, a Beatle wig. And he says, hello there, I'm Ringo's mother. And that was it. Once we did that, the routine worked because he won them over.
Yes.
And then for the first time ever on any national show, we went into the audience to do a hand clapping thing where we go, we hope you've had, no, oh no, we did the Beatles song. I think it was, he loves you, yeah. And we did that as a hand clapper. And then Marty went out into the audience. Well, they had no lights prepared for them going there. All they had is overhead lights. So, you know, now they're going crazy trying to turn the spotlights around and everything. So it was pandemonium, but it was incredibly successful.
Now, could you hear anything above those crazy screaming girls? I mean, was it hard
during
to
the
work
routine? We could. But when we first came on, I mean, when they did their last song, whatever it was, the second song that they did, it was pandemonium. And I said to Ed, because he's on the side, I said, "You can't bring me on right after these. Yeah. They're not even going to pay attention." Ah, don't you worry about it. I'll calm down. They'll be fine. And he said, right after you guys do your routine, there will be a commercial, and then I'm going to introduce some people in the audience. I said, well, great. So now I'm watching him introduce, because he used to screw up the announcers. Well, out here in our audience, ladies and gentlemen, we have the winners of the wheelchair basketball Olympics. Oh. We're proud of you guys. Now stand up and take a bow.
No!
He actually said that.
Oh my goodness.
And he said, currently starring on Broadway. Oh no. He says, and now here is Liza Minnelli in the audience. She gets a big hand. Who is currently starving on Broadway.
We got to do this. This is stories. Cats of the Dish. John Katzelmeade, Trish McCone, with our guest Steve Rossi, talking about the old days on the Ed Sullivan Show and in Las Vegas. Can you talk about what those appearances and the appearances on the Sullivan Show in general meant to your career with and without Marty? I mean, it must have been a huge boost in a couple of weeks.
Incredible.
We're seeing about 100 million people.
We went from being headliners, you know, in Vegas and Tahoe and Reno, you know, all the you know, Harrah's and all the hotels. And then we went from that to headlining major theaters that seated 3,000 to 5,000 people. And then from that, after we became a success in the English-speaking world, from a lot of the other shows, Perry Como and the Dean Martin shows and all the other, you know, we did the Hollywood Squares with Joan Crawford, Betty Davis. I mean, Bing Crosby.
Gosh.
I mean, I'm from that era.
That's the Hollywood Squares right there. That's not Paul Lynn. That's like serious Hollywood Squares.
So you're probably thinking I got to be in my 80s. But a lot of women take me for between 50 and 60. Although last night a girl took me for 100.
Oh, no. Oh, man. No, I don't believe it.
She took me for 100.
I get it for 100.
That's a good line.
And if you think I look good now, you should have seen me when I was alive.
Oh. Mr. Rossi.
Steve has the material.
He's still a very handsome man.
A lot of people who are listening to this and who know about your career, Steve, are wondering what happened with you and Marty. You split the act in the late 60s, right?
Right.
And I still see you around, and I still see Marty around town a lot, and he still does shows occasionally.
And
you're
still friendly.
Active.
We are friendly.
Why not get to do some dates together?
Again. We were offered a tour about 2 years ago called The Final Reunion. And he offered us over $1 million to do the tour, plus a, I believe at that time he was talking a PBS special or a cable special.
Yeah.
And then he spoke to Marty, and he said Marty indicates that he would do it if his wife could open the show, which that part was okay, and also do the spot she did in between Alan and Rossi.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what caused the breakup. I mean, you can't, it's like taking Martin and Lewis and saying, here's my wife, and then
so she was
I
kind
walk
of the,
off stage.
Putting it back, the Beatles, the Yoko of the situation.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I truly believe that Marty was just trying to help her.
Sure,
it wasn't
absolutely,
that,
yeah.
It wasn't that
you
he was
do
trying
that for
to
your
insult
spouse.
Me or anything.
Yeah.
But when we were headlining at Vegas, where I made a lifetime contract there because I knew Stupak real well, mm-hmm. and I was his entertainment director for years.
At Vegas
and he
World.
Only had 100 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have a hell of a history here in Vegas, to say the least.
Yeah.
But anyhow, when that happened, the agencies were not calling us anymore. Not because they didn't like Karen Blackwell.
Because
mm-hmm. she is a good entertainer. But they couldn't understand, why would you have the wife of one of the comedy stars of Alan and Rossi go work in the middle of the show?
Yeah.
You know, we're not going to book an Alan and Rossi on that basis.
Mm-hmm.
We're paying you guys big bucks, you know, $25,000, $35,000, $40,000 in those years.
Yeah. So, uh-huh. But it was fine if she just would have been just the opening.
As
if
the
she
opening
would
act.
Have opened, it would have been fine. But we could never convince them otherwise. And then after the contract was, you know, had a lifetime contract that ended, and Bob Stupak, who was a dear friend of mine, and he was a friend of Marty's, said, you know, I sold it to Stratosphere, and mm-hmm. I'll keep you here until they take over. But, you know, I can't get them to honor the contract I made with you for a lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, if it was specified 3 or 4, but they're going to want to see the original contract, and they're going to say no. Nobody wants to be stuck to a lifetime contract.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, but it's Marty's lifetime.
Look at it this way.
You know?
That's funny. So,
yeah. Is there any possibility of you guys appearing together in one-offs or any, you know, I
truly don't believe
downtown,
so. Plus,
like
you know,
it.
Marty is 92 now. God bless him. I was going to say God rest his soul. God bless him. You know?
We would have a school.
You know, and we have done, you know, he had a tribute from the Italian American Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I performed for his thing. And then after we hugged each other and he said, where did you get all those jokes? I said, I wrote them for you. You know, he says, those are hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should hire you.
That's great.
And I'm doing a show this weekend that you didn't know, but not this weekend, but February 28th. And Marty's one of the guests.
Oh, wow.
At the LVH. Yeah,
at LVH.
Oh, wonderful.
In honor of Rick White. Right? Is Rick setting us up over there at LVH?
Yeah, he's setting it up. Yeah. I don't know if it's in honor of him,
okay, but
whoever it is.
Yeah.
I think it's in honor of me, but
it's an honor
a surprise.
An honor of you by Rick White.
By
there
Rick
we go.
White,
yeah.
There
we go. My
autobiography is an showbiz undercover. An unauthorized biography by Steve Rossi.
I love
about
it.
About Steve Rossi, by Steve Rossi.
I love it.
Well, Steve, it was great having you here. We got to wrap it up now. We're going to have you back. I mean, there's a wealth of
so
information
much.
And
none
interesting
of,
stories.
None of time in the show.
And history there.
Well, I'm a little busy. I can't make it till tomorrow.
We'll just bring the cot out in the studio and
there
we'll
you
feed
go.
Us up. But thanks again, Steve. It's
Thank
always a pleasure
guys.
To see and talk
it's
to
terrific.
You.
Terrific.
Thank you.